When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force, swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions. Lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X and Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
President, there's been an earthquake.
One quake.
The quake opened up the fault line.
Starts a chain reaction.
How much time do you think we have?
We're down to days.
That can't be stopped.
How big do you think this quake could be?
It could take out the California coastline.
We're getting activity all over California.
Kim Delaney and Beau Bridges had an all-star cast.
I'm authorizing the evacuation of the entire West Coast.
Where are we? 6.5! 6.8!
Yes.
Mr. President, there's been an earthquake.
Where?
Seattle, sir.
How bad is it?
The Space Needle collapsed.
Everyone knows that America is going to be struck by a devastating earthquake. For years, the people of California have been waiting for the day when the San Andreas Fault unleashes the big one. But all the time, an even more powerful hazard has lain undiscovered. A giant megathrust earthquake, just like the one that hit Indonesia, threatens America's Pacific Northwest. A huge area from Northern California all the way to Canada is at risk, including major cities like Seattle and Vancouver.
It's a major earthquake.
We're just coordinating the emergency response. Is going
the authorities have started to prepare for this catastrophe. Rehearsals like this one help to train the emergency services to deal with such an event. Children are now taught lessons in survival that could mean the difference between life and death. The source of all this danger, lying underwater off the Pacific Northwest coast, is a huge gash in the Earth's crust. A subduction zone. The Earth's crust is made up of huge plates of rock that are constantly in motion. Where two of these giant plates meet head to head, one of them can get pushed down under the other. This is a subduction zone. It was a subduction zone off the coast of Sumatra that caused the earthquake on December 26th. And worldwide, there are many other similar faults.
There are subduction zones all over the planet, but mainly they occur around the rim of the Pacific, the so-called Ring of Fire. And lots of big earthquakes occur there, most of the world's really destructive earthquakes.
Dr. Hill, how big is it? I'm on my way.
7.9. We haven't seen activity like that since Denali. S-waves are off the chart.
The structure designed to withstand a 9.1 quake was toppled by the 7.9 quake.
Let me call you back.
We walked Seattle this morning when a massive underground gas pocket ruptured 50 feet below the street, causing the ground supporting the entire downtown area to cave in.
Yeah, we've got a lot of wires.
Everything from Pacific to the shoreline has been blocked off due to flooding. Hikers are stranded at Point Defiance Park, and reports of structural damage to the Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
Aftershock 4.6.
4.9.
We need to narrow down that hypocenter.
Might take a while. We're measuring several active lateral skips.
Let's focus on the Gordon Wanda Fuga plates, and if you get me infrared numbers in the next 30 minutes, that'd be great.
Forget the Gorda plate. The rupture zone wasn't anywhere near Lake Shasta. The epicenter was about 162 miles east of us. I'm betting the Ellensburg area.
Ellensburg? This was local. I got subduction measurements from the North American plate.
Local faults were ruptured, yes, but they were activated by something deeper. Trust me, Central Washington. I found evidence of several faults there last May, sub-asthenosphere. Forget the hypercenter. We're not going to find a rupture with the equipment we have. Let's get some graphs of the affected areas, all right? Thermo and infrared. We're also looking for interacting faults.
Okay.
Someone call Navstar. We're going to need satellite photos ASAP.
Got it.
Denver call yet?
Still waiting on USGS.
Good, then we still have some time to narrow the rupture log zone. Could you get me the geolab in Central Washington? Thanks.
What are you doing, Sam?
What do you mean?
What are you doing? This is my operation. You don't just come in here and take over.
All right, what was your plan?
It's not about who has a better plan. It's about chain of command. You work for me, remember?
Jordan, people want answers right now.
And they're gonna get answers.
Come on, where are my thermos? Let's go!
Yes,
let's go!
On it.
A 100 miles southwest of Seattle, in a remote area of the Washington coast, is the Ghost Forest. These are trees that died hundreds of years ago, but remain standing to this day.
Sometime in the past, this would have been an intact red cedar forest. Large trees standing 100 feet or more in the air. And this landscape was filled with them. And then one day, something killed the trees here in place. And the mystery is, what killed them? You know, what could kill an entire forest along 60 miles of Washington coast, just like this?
Tree specialist David Yamaguchi has spent years trying to solve the mystery of what happened to the trees. He wanted to determine when they had died by examining their rings.
Most people know that trees have annual rings. So depending on the climate from year to year, the tree rings are either wide or narrow or wide or narrow. And so they're developing a barcode going back in time that's unique in time.
Using this pattern, David was able to work out exactly when the trees had died. And he found out that all of them had died around the early months of 1700.
Summer before the tsunami hit Japan, these trees were just growing happily in the forest here. Then the winter came along, and by the following summer, they were all dead. And so the tree ring story matched the Japanese tsunami records perfectly.
There was now no doubt that the same catastrophe that had killed the Ghost Forest had also sent the tsunami across to Japan. And from the Japanese records, Kenji Satake could work out exactly when it had happened. On the 26th of January, 1700, at 9 p.m. On that winter's night, a megathrust earthquake, just like the one on December 26th, struck the Pacific Northwest. It drowned forests and turned land into sea. It sent a tsunami hurtling across the Pacific. And it spawned a legend that would be passed down to a dozen generations. The scientists knew that if it happened here once, it would happen again. One day, the people of the Pacific Northwest will face a megathrust earthquake. So how big will it be? What damage will it cause? And when will it happen? The first question is how large will the earthquake be? The power of an earthquake depends on the size of the fault that breaks. In the case of the December 26th earthquake, it was huge. Over 600 miles of fault ruptured. The Cascadia subduction zone is almost exactly the same length. So it's likely that it will create an equally powerful earthquake. Scientists believe the next Cascadia earthquake will be one of the largest on the planet, up to magnitude 9. The Kobe earthquake, which killed 6,000 people and devastated the Japanese economy, was a magnitude 6.8. The terrible Mexico City earthquake, which killed over 10,000 people, was 8.1. But a magnitude 9 releases many times more energy than those.
The Kobe earthquake that was so damaging in Japan was about a magnitude 6.8. So a Cascadia event that would reach magnitude 9 is more than 1,000 times bigger than that one.
Just like what happened in the Indian Ocean, this huge earthquake will cause a sudden uplift of the seafloor, and that will create a tsunami. The December tsunami devastated the densely populated northwest coast of Sumatra and almost totally destroyed the town of Banda Aceh. The cities of Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver will at least be spared that fate.
One of the fortunate things about Cascadia in comparison with northern Sumatra is that the big towns and cities aren't located right out on the open ocean coast. The complex of waterways in Washington state means that the big ports are actually located some way inland.
However, thousands of people do live on the Pacific Northwest coast. And in summer, the beaches are a major draw to tourists. So even though there are no major cities on the coast, there will still be many thousands of people at risk from the tsunami. But far more people will be affected by the earthquake itself. All the major cities in Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia are going to experience strong ground shaking. And this megathrust earthquake will be very different from a normal quake.
Magnitude 9 earthquakes have these special characteristics. One of them is that that it takes several minutes for the fault to break from one end to the other. The fault rupture spreads out at a few kilometers a second, but it still may take 2 or 3 minutes to get from one end to the other. And that means the earthquake shaking goes on for a very long period of time.
If the full 600-mile length of the Cascadia subduction zone ruptures, it will mean the earthquake will continue for as long as 5 minutes, just like the Indonesian earthquake did.
The duration of the event is very unusual, and in that sense alone, it can cause more damage. A quake that goes on for longer causes more damage generally than one that is over within 10 or 20 seconds.
So what damage will several minutes of shaking do to cities like Seattle? Tom Heaton is an earthquake engineer from California. He was brought in to advise on the construction of a nuclear power station near the Washington coast. In the end, the project ran out of money and was never completed. But ever since, Heaton has been concerned by the question of what damage a Cascadia earthquake could do, particularly to skyscrapers.
My fear is that in a Cascadia event, these buildings may sway some large distance, and as we get a very long duration of shaking, that the swaying may grow in intensity, and the buildings may begin to be damaged.
Local hospitals have moved their patients to outgoing facilities. Most of Pike Place Market has been flooded. As many as 200 people were seriously hurt when the downtown monorail collapsed. Memorial Stadium is down, and congestion on the I-5 has caused many commuters to overflow into downtown neighborhoods. Traffic in and out of SeaTac has all but halted as passengers wait.
This quake is worse than the Northridge quake, sir. That area is going to be feeling the side effects from this one for the next 5 years.
How does this affect the rest of the nation, Daniel?
Well, sir, right now it's the story of the week. People are glued to their TVs. But I believe eventually the financial impact of this one is going to send a ripple effect across the rest of the nation.
And how's the governor handling this?
He's doing his best to put out fires, sir.
But how's he handling this personally?
He's a bit overwhelmed, sir. They weren't prepared for this sort of scenario.
Then let's give him a hand. He has to know he's not alone in this. We're going to do everything we can to help those people through this tragedy.
Thousands more are still missing in what many are calling the biggest disaster to hit the West Coast in over a century. Most of the transportation in the Seattle area has all but halted as work crews attempt to open up access.
The faults were activated by a larger fault which centered the epicenter 9 miles south of Ellensburg.
Did you confirm it with the university?
UCW's down. We've got confirmations from Denver and Spokane.
You were right, Sam. It's worse than I thought.
To provide aid and relief to the victims of this tragedy.
The reality is, no one knows for sure, because there has never been a megathrust earthquake near a modern high-rise city. But there is a type of building that everyone agrees will be at risk. The older brick buildings, known as unreinforced masonry, or URMs.
These buildings we see around here in Pioneer Square, like many cities on the West Coast, they're constructed of unreinforced masonry, bricks stacked upon bricks separated by mortar. And so if an earthquake shaking happens, those bricks end up sliding past one another, and they lift apart.
URM buildings are very weak and very brittle, so the long duration of shaking that a megathrust earthquake will produce could cause many to collapse.
URM buildings have been noticeably not very resistant to earthquakes in general. And if you don't do some renovations and start connecting the pieces together, they're very susceptible to damage, especially in a long event like the Cascadia. And so even those that do have some improvements made to them, they still might be challenged. But those that don't have any, their chance of surviving is probably fairly limited.
There are thousands of these unreinforced masonry buildings in the earthquake zone. They're used as homes, offices, and schools. The collapse of such buildings is likely to be a major cause of death and injury when the next Cascadia earthquake occurs. So the big question is, when will it happen?
Seattle, it's on the news.
I'm on the phone.
A lot of people bit it.
I know. I heard about it.
The University of Washington and the University of Puget Sound have been closed until further notice. Over 2,000 people are reported missing in the downtown Seattle area. And
that what happened? Is
rapidly the quake.
We had a quake?
We've got seismic activity in Northern California. Getting activity all over Northern California. Berkeley's reporting an 8.4 aftershock.
8.4 aftershock? That's bigger than the original quake.
That doesn't make sense.
It was felt felt as far south as San Bernardino.
Are you sure it was an aftershock?
Yeah, we can't find the hypocenter, and there doesn't appear to be any new rupture zone.
What about everyone else? Portland, Los Angeles?
Same. There's nothing.
But suddenly the sixth seal is opened. It will affect every land area on Earth. No exception. It's called the Great Earthquake. Great. How great will it be? What will cause this earthquake? When will it happen? Will it affect Christians? What about those that are going to be protected from these things? Will it affect them? This will cause land shifts. The Earth rides on platelets. Yes, there will be activity in the land masses of this Earth. Volcanic activity. Islands that have been unparalleled since the days of Peleg when the Earth was divided. You can turn to Genesis chapter 10 and you can read verse 25, and it says the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. The word divided is number 6385 in the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language. It means split. The earth was split, the land masses in the days of Peleg. You look at Europe and Africa. Then you move the Atlantic Ocean out of the way, and you move the continent of North and South America over, and it looks like they fit together practically. The land masses were split in the days of Peleg. It affected every person on planet Earth. Australia broke loose. Islands rose out of the water. Other land masses sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Then suddenly, as if time stood still, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, here's what it says. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. This is a seal directly from the true God that created everything. And remember, Jesus Christ made everything that has been made. He made this seal, and God the Father gave him permission to use this seal upon a certain number of people. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Notice, to hurt the earth. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I heard the number of them that were sealed. There was 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So there's 144,000. If there have been no mistranslations through the years, 12,000 from each of the tribes. All the tribes have intermarried through the years, whether they're on the European continent, British Isles, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the United States, but they received the message of Jesus Christ, so they were sealed in their forehead. Now, the word seal is number 4972 in the Greek Strong's Concordance, and it literally means to stamp with a private mark. For security and preservation. There was someone that was going to flee into the wilderness and be protected and fed supernaturally for 3.5 years. There was the Philadelphia church that said they would not be touched. They would be kept out of contact with the hour of temptation that would come upon the whole world. And now we see all of a sudden, before the trumpets are open, but there is a great earthquake, and this diverts the attention. What is it that caused this earthquake? that diverted the attention of the national leaders of this world, so that God would then set his mark in the forehead of these people that he talked about. It says they were to be kept as in preservation from something, by implication to keep secret, as if the rest of the world didn't even know you existed, as fencing in or protecting from misappropriation, right out of the Strong's Concordance of the Greek language. So God has absolutely determined that he's going to keep a group of people from being misappropriated in the events that are about to come. He will preserve them alive. This great earthquake, the sixth seal, will only be the beginning of what scientists call extinction level events. We absolutely know from scientific excavation that great fur-bearing mammals have been discovered. They've been discovered encased in ice. They were quick frozen, instantly, not over a period of hundreds or thousands of years, because they could have just trotted away. But it was instant, with tropical vegetation still unchewed in their mouth and undigested in their stomachs. Tropical vegetation. How could this be? How could it be? I mean, if you're in the North Pole and you're quick frozen, how are you going to have vegetation from the tropics in your mouth? In Matthew chapter 24, this will begin to give a whole new meaning to these two verses, verse 21, verse 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, known or shall ever be. We've always thought that meant nuclear weapons that could kill 50 Earths. It does. We always thought it meant chemical, biological agents that could kill another 100 Earths. It does. But is there something in addition to that that is so awful that is going to come upon this earth, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved? And when you look up that Greek word saved in the Strong's Concordance, it means either saved physically, alive, or spiritually, according to the context. And the Moffat translation says saved alive, showing that it means physically. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. People like you and me, and others like us, whoever they are around the world with God's Holy Spirit, they keep the commandments because we are faithful and loyal in all of this. God has determined he's going to save this planet from this tribulation time. Could it be more than we've always thought? It could only happen if an outside heavenly body invaded the inner solar system and the gravitational pull of our Earth and Sun were affected by it. This invasion could come from an asteroid. It could come from a comet. But are they large enough? Some have hit the Earth, caused great damage. We know there were dinosaurs. Or could it be another heavenly body that the world has not even known that existed, but it does exist, and it has come into existence, and astronomers and so on have found it? Ancient astronomers knew that such a tenth planet that only circulates in our solar system approximately every 3,600 to 3,660 years exists. They had graphs in old times, even before the flood, the Sumerian people, population that died out with the flood. And so this planet, this 10th planet, is so large that when it comes from the outer depths of space, it comes through the Oort system, where there are comets and asteroids, and because it is five times larger than planet Earth, it drags with it certain very damaging things, asteroids, comets. But it only comes around once every 3,600 to 660 years. And in the days of Peleg, it came by and the continents were split. It says so, the word divided, they were split. Is it all coming to pass? Will it happen? Will there come persecution upon Christians when all this begins to come down? Remember, we're laying the groundwork now for the Feast of Trumpets. This is what's happening in the world today. It's all around us, everywhere. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, it says this, right after it talks about this war over a quarter of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. Now they didn't really cry, this is symbolism. And said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Well, white robes were given unto them. Why? Because the white robes represent the righteousness of the saints. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. There is coming persecution. It will be in the streets of Christian America because Christian America has turned its back upon its God except for the few people here and there that have truly obeyed him and repented and turned to the living God and are keeping his everlasting covenant. And when those people that are supposed to be the light to the rest of the communities of this nation stop burning that light brightly and start compromising and say, no, God, I won't obey you. I won't keep your holy days. I'll slide through the Sabbath, but it doesn't have any meaning to me anymore. Then those Christians are going to be those that are on the firing line. Persecution will come. Persecution and martyrdom for some saints will occur. Why? The resurrection in our changed bodies will not occur until the last trump. And this starts before even the first trump sounds. Physical human beings will be on this earth, and it's according to what we do with the knowledge that we have. The life that we live will determine whether we are protected or whether we will die in a martyr's as a martyr or whether we'll flee from city to city with no divine protection. Notice the resurrection is the last trump and we haven't even touched upon the first trump yet. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 52. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's our current state. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. The body we have, when it dies, it decays and goes back to the dust of the ground. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die and go into the grave, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There it is, the last trump. Those of us that are still alive will be changed instantly, and those that are in the grave will come out of the grave. So do not believe and let anybody convince you that Christians will not see persecution. Some will. Some won't. Professing Christians who have been mistaught throughout the years concerning the timing of the resurrection will be horrified to see that persecution is touching their body. They will be disillusioned, and many of them will turn away from God. They will begin to turn in their friends that are Christians to the authorities to save their own skin. But then something will begin to happen that government officials have deemed classified, so not to alarm the public. Notice in Revelation 6, verse 12 to 16, I'll read some and summarize some. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. This isn't one 3.4 underground, 1,500 feet. This is a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. These heavenly signs, because you won't be able to see it, because this earthquake is going to be so great that it's literally going to set off not only earthquake fault lines, but what if there's volcanoes involved? And the soot and the ash and the magma begins to fly up into the atmosphere and it blocks the visibility of the sun and the stars and the moon. Oh, it's coming. And something's going to cause it. God allows it to happen. It's going to be so bad that even the rich men and the kings of the earth are going to cry out, "Let the rocks fall on us, the mountains fall on us," as they dig their huge caverns out underground so that they can protect themselves from something they have identified 30 years ago, nearly, but deemed it classified and withdrew the information immediately. So what could set it all off? All of this is leading up to the meaning of the trumpets. And therefore, since he didn't lie to us about the only sign that he would give to anyone at any time period that reads this Bible, that he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights dead, and that he would come out and be a living Savior, not a dead one. That means whatever he's inspired for us, we can believe it. My last scripture, Psalms 91, verse 1 to 11. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the Norsemen pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and that's what we're after, his truth. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night. No, if Planet X goes by and you hear noisy activities outside, God will take care of you if he sealed you. If you've been accounted worthy to escape all of these things, you have no fear. Nor for the arrow that flies by night, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. And we know such havoc's going to come with a breakdown of the food system, distribution system. There will be disease epidemics. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. We believe that, don't we? We do, don't we? Why would we be here if we didn't believe that? God means every word that he says. If your heart and your mind is seeking the kingdom of God, no man, no woman, no unseen spirit being, no evil spirit, nothing should be able to take you from the love of God, and it won't. The only way that you could come out from under the love of God is if you or I choose of our own voluntary will not to recognize demonic attacks in our life. Others being sent by the unseen spirits of this world to cause us to stumble. As long as we're faithful in every way, then nothing, except with your eyes, you will behold the reward of the wicked. Nothing will happen to you because you have a living Savior whose every word is written under the inspiration of his Spirit. And when he says, you will only see these things with your eyes, but nothing will happen to you, he means them. You and I are going to be the most rejoiceful people, because when the rubble clears and the new world order comes and those come out from under their underground cities and they are going to set up their world government, their electronic surveillance society of the numbers that are left for the last 3.5 years, you and I will be protected. God is good. God is great. I used to say that when I was a little child before I went to bed at night. How true it is. But God is looking for people to bestow his love upon. He's looking for people with a heart so he can protect. I think that I have found a group of people that are just the ones he's looking for. In verse 11, he says this, "For he," this is Jesus Christ and God our Father, "shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Praise God, and I thank Jesus Christ for loving us.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus. Please write to me at Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T-O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082. I would be happy to hear from you. Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T as in Tom, O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082.